On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, Kyler Yamamoto re-signs, and can Xavier Borgo make the Edmonton Oilers? We will have that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer Brett Holden. On today's episode, Kyler Yamamoto did re-sign yesterday. So what does that mean for the Lions? What does it mean for the Edmonton Oilers? And what will the Oilers do with this cap crunch all of a sudden that they are in? I say all of a sudden, but they are now over the cap after that signing. So we'll talk about that in just a bit. Plus, Xavier Borgo, will he make the Oilers roster opening day with all this cap crunch problems? We will talk about that later on in today's episode. Plus, there are two Edmonton Oilers prospects that will be participating in the World Junior Championships tournament next week. Who are they and what can you expect from them? And spoiler alert, one of them is my favorite prospect in the Edmonton Oilers prospect pool. We will talk about that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty, let's talk about the news of the day yesterday as Kyler Yamamoto signed his contract, a two-year, $3.1 million contract, 3.1 per year, so 3.1 AAV. That is how much he has against the cap. And a lot of people were saying, why would Kyler Yamamoto get a bigger contract then, or why should he expect a bigger contract then Jesse Puljujärvi? Well, he got it. He had 20 goals last year, 21 assists, 41 points for him last year. A very productive year. And you missed him on the forecheck against the Colorado Avalanche in those last two games of the Western Conference Finals. You did. You lost a whole other aspect of this game that you absolutely refused to play Dylan Holloway in as well. He's a necessary evil for the Edmonton Oilers, and now that necessary evil also puts the Edmonton Oilers $423,000 over the cap, and that includes the Edmonton Oilers' dead cap with Mike Smith and Oscar Klefbom. So what do the Edmonton Oilers do now? Well, let's take a look at the lines as of right now. The Edmonton Oilers now, with the signing of Kyler Yamamoto officially, they have Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, if you ever heard of him, and Kyler Yamamoto. Then second line is Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl, don't know if you heard of him either, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Third line of Dylan Holloway, and now Ryan McLeod still hasn't signed his contract yet. That is what the Edmonton Oilers need to make space for, because Ryan McLeod is the three center or 3C of the future for the Edmonton Oilers. Also on that line now with the Jesse Puljujärvi signing, Jesse Puljujärvi on that wing for the third line. And then a fourth line of Matthias Janmark, Derek Ryan, and Devin Shore. Also Warren Fogel in the mix. Also Greg McKegg in the mix. Also we're going to talk about and make the case for Xavier Borgo's name being in the mix as well. So the Edmonton Oilers have a lot going on in their forward core. So who gets the bump? Well, a lot of people like to say Jesse Puljujärvi, as he is the favorite name to go, and I understand why. He has a very tradable contract in a one-year, $3 million deal. He has an upside of a fourth overall pick in the NHL draft. It's very understandable. He is a guy who has shown when he was younger that he does have a scoring touch. He also, if you take a look at the advanced stats, is a very impressive player. But if you ask a lot of old heads and people that for some reason don't like Jesse Puljujärvi, they're going to find something wrong with Jesse Puljujärvi's game. However, it seems like the market has gone cold for Jesse Puljujärvi. Ken Holland has said, and has said since he became the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, And he's not just going to give Yesipuliarvi away. He's not going to sell low on Yesipuliarvi. There's reasons why. Many reasons why. But Yesipuliarvi is not going to be handed over to some team for a second round pick. I doubt it. Unless they absolutely get to the point where they have to move him, they have to get something back, and that's the only deal they can make. That's the only deal they could have made when Yesipuliarvi was still in Finland. Yesipuliarvi isn't still in Finland. He's playing on the Edmonton Oilers' third line and should probably be on the top line of a lot of places around the NHL. Well, probably in the top six. Yesipuliarvi believes he's a top six player. Yesipuliarvi can also play like a top six player. Yesipuliarvi can also play with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, or he can also play with Dylan Holloway and Ryan McLeod. That's called versatility, people. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show where people aren't just Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl every single time they step onto the ice and actually have duties when they go out to play against the other team. Got to prevent the puck from going into the net before you win a hockey game, even if you're scoring six goals. Just ask Mike Smith and the Edmonton Oilers in games one against the Calgary Flames and game one against the Colorado Avalanche. And Yesipuliarvi was the best forward at preventing the puck from going into the net on the Edmonton Oilers last year. So what's the issue? He is a valuable player and is playing in the NHL. So he's not going to bring in a second round pick. And the Edmonton Oilers, well, he can, but the Edmonton Oilers aren't just going to go, a second round pick. Yeah, sure. Here's this very valuable guy who can probably score 20 goals in any, if he really wants to. The guy did have a lot of injuries, but again, okay, I'm getting a little too much into Yesipuliarvi, but I'm making my case as to why, after this Kyler Yamamoto deal, he isn't the guy to make the move on. The market is cold for him right now, and if the Edmonton Oilers were to move him over the guy who I would move, you're only clearing up $25,000 in cap space. When the guy the Edmonton Oilers should be moving, and this is no slight to him, but the Edmonton Oilers signed him to a tough deal last year. Had to, but he didn't produce, hasn't produced in his career. Brought some nice intangibles, but you're not going to pay $2.75 million per year. Could you imagine the Edmonton Oilers were paying Warren Fogle $275 million? No, $2.75 million to play on the fourth line. Even in this make or mock lineup that I made here to talk about earlier, he's not even on the lineup. But you're paying $2.75 million for him. The Edmonton Oilers can ship him out, get a third round pick for him. That's only a round behind a second rounder. He'll probably swing maybe a fourth or a fifth, to be honest with you. But at the ceiling, maybe a third. But that clears up space. If the Edmonton Oilers were to trade the Warren Fogle contract right now, the Edmonton Oilers would have $2.27 million in cap space, which would give you more than enough money to re-sign Ryan McLeod. More than enough money. But the Edmonton Oilers also have a couple spots on that forward core to cover. Now, there's one guy in the Edmonton Oilers organization right now that I think can and potentially will probably be, if at worst, a late, late spring camp cut. Xavier Borgo. What does he have to do to make the Edmonton Oilers next year after the Kyler Yamamoto contract? Well, I'll tell you in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, golf, even esports as well. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action and what is happening today. Bet online, where the game starts. Alrighty, we are going to move into Xavier Bourgault, and will he make the Edmonton Oilers roster? What does he have to do to make the Edmonton Oilers roster? Well, he has actively said in interviews, and I said recently as well, that he might even make, not just in this episode, I should mention, but he thinks that he can make the Edmonton Oilers, and I think there is a strong, strong case for him to make the Edmonton Oilers as well. We just talked about the, what's the proper word for it? Kind of the restraints that the Edmonton Oilers have now with the re-signing of Kyler Yamamoto, with the re-signing of Jesse Puljujärvi. They still need to get a contract on Ryan McLeod, but yet they're $423,000 over the cap limit. Trade Warren Fogle, you're $2.27 million into, or back up, I guess. You got that $2.27 million. You re-sign Ryan McLeod for million and a half at most. That leaves you not a lot of money. But what can you do then? Well, you can bring in a guy who has had a massive, massive season in the QMJHL, who just went to the Memorial Cup final, and is one of, if not your top prospects in the organization. That's obviously Xavier Bourgault. And a guy, as I mentioned, who is confident and ready to make the jump to professional hockey, at least between the ears. But it's the play on the ice that matters. Xavier Bourgault has the ability on the ice to make the Edmonton Oilers next year. 100%. I'm not going to beat around the bush in any way. Xavier Bourgault has the intangibles to make the Edmonton Oilers next year. Do the Edmonton Oilers have a spot for him? Potentially. The Edmonton Oilers do trade Warren Fogle. Well, that does leave a massive spot on the Edmonton Oilers' bottom six. You're not going to put Xavier Bourgault into the basically line 1A or line 1B with McDavid or Draisaitl. So, what can you do? The Edmonton Oilers also love to play the 11-7, so you can get a little creative. Here's where I get a little creative, okay? Now, I'm not Jay Woodcroft, so don't you absolutely hammer me to anything here, but here's what we could do if the Edmonton Oilers do go with an 11-7 roster. First line obviously stays the same. Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, and Kyler Yamamoto. Second line of Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Third line of Dylan Holloway, Ryan McLeod, and Jesse Puljujärvi. And then you take out Derek Ryan. You take out Devin Shore. Obviously, Warren Fogle in this theoretical has been traded. Now, your bottom two then becomes Matthias Janmark and Xavier Bourgault. Now you slot in a Connor McDavid, a Leon Draisaitl, whoever wants to go onto that line between the two of them. You can push Bourgault up onto the line with Holloway and McLeod. You can put put Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in there as well. You can have a line of Matthias Janmark, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Xavier Bourgault. The Edmonton Oilers have the ability to go from a line 1A, 1B to a line 3A, 3B. Like, there's not really a fourth or second line with the Edmonton Oilers. They just have lines that complement each other. That is what you want on an Edmonton or on a team in general, but especially on a team that really focuses on playing with speed and not necessarily malice, but almost, what's the proper word for it? Intentional. Everything that the Edmonton Oilers do is intentional. It may not look like it, but it is. And the Edmonton Oilers, especially with an 11-7 roster with Xavier Borgo, they're fast, they're mean, they can score goals, they're gritty, they can pound a team just down to the ground as well. I mean, not maybe to the point of absolute obliteration, but the Edmonton Oilers can also get physical. I mean, Evander Kane, nobody wants to face off Evander Kane in a fight. He is one of the best fighters in the league, and he doesn't get to show it too often because he's either scoring goals or people go, I don't want to get punched in the face by a stray left hand because he is a southpaw. There's not a lot of other southpaws in the NHL who also know how to fight a southpaw. The Edmonton Oilers have grit and grime to them, and Xavier Borgo has played that game in the QMJHL over the last few years. If you watched him in the Memorial Cup, if you watched him in the QMJHL playoffs, you especially saw just how good he is at getting into the dirty areas, getting the puck loose, and getting the puck to somebody who's open on his team. Vice versa. He's also very good at getting open for his teammates who are in those battles, making sure that when the puck is available, he is in a spot that can get the puck and do something with it afterwards. He's a smart hockey player, and he's starting to get that physical body that can play in the NHL. It's going to be his first year in professional hockey either way, so he's either going to be playing in the AHL or going to be playing in the NHL. And if the Edmonton Oilers have a spot for him and need a cap space guy or a cap strap guy who can go in there and actually work, then Xavier Borgo might be the right guy. Now, I've only talked about 11-7. What if there's a full four lines that you're running? Well, fair enough. I hear you barking, big dog. In this theoretical, this is the one where Puljujärvi has been traded. So now you have Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, and Kyler Yamamoto. Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Then you just have a straight-up third line of Dylan Holloway, Ryan McLeod, and Xavier Borgo, who would just go out there, bang bodies, play the game with a chip on their shoulder. That would be a great skating line, a fantastic skating line. Nobody would be able to catch up with that line, and then when they have to, they'll get into the corners, they'll bang bodies, they'll shoot pucks, and they'll make trouble happen. That's a fun line. That's a third line. Whew. And then a fourth line of Warren Fogle, Derek Ryan, and Matthias Janmark. Not too bad. I know a lot of people do like Warren Fogle. I like Warren Fogle as well. I've mentioned just his chemistry and his friendship with Kyler Yamamoto, I believe Evan Bouchard, and Ryan McLeod as well. So that's something that you don't want to break up. It's not, but again, if the hockey is a business, stuff like that happens, you still want to have that chemistry and make it important for players to come out there and want to play for each other. But again, it's a business, and the Edmonton Oilers are $423,000 over the cap limit. Also, another argument, quick argument for Xavier Borgo to make the Edmonton Oilers next year. His numbers are fantastic. They really are. In the regular season last year in 43 games, 36 goals, 39 assists, 75 points for Xavier Borgo with the Shawinigan Cataracs in the QMJHL. Then in the playoffs, he just continued to stay hot. 16 games played for him down in Shawinigan playing in the playoffs. 12 goals, 10 assists, 22 points in those 16 games. And then he went over to the Memorial Cup in St. John. And still was fantastic. Four games played, 2 goals, 5 assists, 7 points, went all the way to the final, couldn't quite get it. They should have. I'm not going to say anything more, but Xavier Borgo should be an Edmonton Oiler next year? Could be an Edmonton Oilers next year. An Edmonton Oiler next year. What do you think? Should he be an Edmonton Oiler next year? Did I make a good enough argument? Now again, I only make that argument because the Edmonton Oilers will be strapped for cap. I'm not too pumped about having a Devin Shore in the lineup all the time or Derek Ryan in the lineup every single game. I know they brought in Greg McKegg as well, who will play a bunch of games, especially for the penalty kill and bottom six and really taking those gross mucked up minutes, you know, just mucking up the game, just making sure Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are getting their time off, essentially. But what do you think? Can Xavier Bourgault? I think if Xavier Bourgault is in at any point in the lineup, you're one of the best lineups, if not the best lineup in the NHL, along with Jesse Puljujärvi, Ryan McLeod, Dylan Holloway. That's just a disgusting lineup. I'm sorry, but that's fantastic. I'm rambling a little bit too much. Let's move on to the World Junior Championships, as the Edmonton Oilers do have two prospects who will be playing in the tournament on August 9th. Who are they? And what can you expect from them? We will talk about that in just a second. But first, I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Oilers and making it your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL, as Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world. Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. This Wednesday, or I'm on Wednesdays with Jess as well, so make sure you tune into that one. We talked about the Andrew Mangiapane deal and just how important it was to the Calgary Flames. What does it mean? What does it also mean for the Battle of Alberta as well? We also talked about a little bit about some of the best jerseys. We got a little fun as well. Some of the best jerseys in the NHL, and we also talked about John Klingberg's contract. He eventually maybe end up on the Edmonton Oilers next year. Not something we talked about, but he only has a one-year contract for $7 million. So I'm not saying, I'm just saying he's 30 next year, probably 31 when he hits the market. Just putting the bug in your ear. I'm just kidding. Let's move on to the World Junior Championships, which start on August 9th. Back in Edmonton once again. Little controversy whether or not that it would happen. But it is. It is happening once again here in Edmonton. So the Edmonton Oilers do have two prospects that will be participating in the tournament. And who are they? Well, one of them is a big German man named Luka Munzenberger, who is my favorite prospect in the Edmonton Oilers organization. Genuinely. I remember the Edmonton Oilers picked him at number 90, and everyone, including myself, I tweeted out going, "Who?" And that's saying something for somebody who looked at 150 prospects from last year's draft. The Edmonton Oilers picked Luka Munzenberger at 90. So, who is this guy? Luka Munzenberger played last year at the University of Vermont. The interesting thing about the University of Vermont is that it's coached by Todd Woodcroft. Yes, the brother of Jay. So the Edmonton Oilers are getting a lot of very good looks at Luka Munzenberger. Whether or not that's kind of within the organization or not, it is what it is. But the Edmonton Oilers are getting a lot of very good intel on Luka Munzenberger. So what does Jay Woodcroft's brother, Todd, say about Luka Munzenberger? A lot of good things. A lot of good things. Now, as a lot of people I know, you're going to your phones right now or your computers and looking up Luka Munzenberger's stats and taking a look and going, 32 games played last year, no goals. 3 assists, 3 points, and 45 penalty minutes. Yeah, not fantastic. Fair enough, I hear ya. But that's not the type of player he is. He's a number one pairing defenseman for a reason at the University of Vermont. He's the number one pairing defenseman at the University of Vermont because He is the number one shutdown defenseman in that organization, in that program. Todd Woodcroft, I keep wanting to say Todd McClellan when I say Todd Woodcroft. Todd Woodcroft keeps saying that Luka Muenzenberger is the range on him, the skating on him, everything, his size, everything about him makes him a premier shutdown defenseman. Now, guys in the NCAA have realized just how good Luka Muenzenberger is, and they're starting to give him space because, like Todd Woodcroft said, if they don't give Luka Muenzenberger space, they're going to get hit. They're going to hit hard. Luka Muenzenberger currently sits at 6'2", 190 pounds, according to Elite Prospects. I can guarantee he's probably 6'3", 6'4", probably around 195, 200 pounds maybe, and he's only 19 years old. He's going to get bigger. The Edmonton Oilers first saw Luka Muenzenberger during the World Junior Championships and were able to really get a watch on him while it was going on at Rogers Place for the first time within that COVID bubble, and really clearly liked something about him. Now he's within the Edmonton Oilers organization. Todd Woodcroft, Jay's brother, is getting a lot of time watching him, and he can't stop raving about him. Now, the other guy that the Edmonton Oilers are sending to the World Junior Championships is another University of Vermont player. Yeah, the Edmonton Oilers have two players or two prospects that play under Jay Woodcroft's brother, Todd. Pretty good cosign, if you ask me, for those prospects. So, who is this prospect? Joel Matta! Yes, Joel Matta, the Edmonton Oilers' seventh round pick from this past year's draft. The Edmonton Oilers selected him late this year, and a lot of people were like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Fair enough, it's a seventh round pick. I don't expect you to know too much about him. Well, he spent the last couple of years in the States. He is from Finland. He will be representing Finland at the World Junior Championships. But the last couple of years, he spent 2020-2021 in the USHL with the Sioux City. 52 games played for him there. 9 goals, 11 assists, good for 20 points. And then committed to the University of Vermont, where he had 32 games played, 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points. Now, again, I hear you barking, big dog, going, that's not a lot of points. First of all, there's not a lot of points to be had in the NCAA. Carter Savoy, who is a very top, or elite, maybe not elite, but a good point producer in the NCAA, wasn't getting the numbers that you would probably expect from him, and especially wasn't getting the numbers that he would have produced in like the AJHL or the WHL. The NCAA is a totally different monster. Now, that's not me making up for Joel Matta, because even Joel Matta, if you were to ask him, and he was asked by Oilers TV at the development camp, who is he and what type of player he is, he straight up said, I'm a bottom six player who kills penalties, blocks shots, and plays hard. This kid's what? I don't even think he's 20 yet. I did not look at his stats. I did look at his stats, but I didn't look at his age, because he definitely sounds like he's over the age of 20. He is a very, very, very mature player. He is 20 years old. I just looked it up. July 6, 2002. He is a mature man. He knows what type of player he is. It's the type of player you want. As mentioned, not everybody, not every draft pick is going to be a Connor McDavid, a Leon Draisaitl. Sometimes you get a Ryan McLeod, who's a fantastic third center or even a second center. He can play all over the place. He can kill penalties and do basically everything. But he's not going to score 50 goals. The Edmonton Oilers have a guy who is willing and committed to play bottom 6 minutes because he knows that's his strength. And he is now getting the ability and ingrained in his head the Oilers' mentality in Todd Woodcroft. Pretty nice reference for a lot of those players like Luka Muenzenberger and Joel Matta. So two guys to keep an eye out for the World Junior Championships, which start August 9th and go till August 20th here in Edmonton. I'm not sure if they are selling tickets. Hopefully they are. They should be. I want to go. Either way, if I do or don't see you there, either way, I hope you have a wonderful Thursday, everybody. Tomorrow is Friday. It's the weekend. It's Friday then. Maybe I shouldn't get into that yet. But either way, as mentioned, over the next month, we are cutting down to 3 episodes a day. So I know some people do listen while they're in their shower or at work or doing whatever every day. So just know that Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you will be getting something. I know this week I said we were going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Well, it's Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. I apologize for that. Either way, I hope you have a wonderful day. We shall see you tomorrow on Friday. Stay safe and don't do anything I wouldn't do.